WBMC HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com, and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
And we are live here at CBS New Sky Radio, New Horizons, No Boundaries, and it is Fire It Up with CJ. Make sure you find her away from the show, of course. It is www.fireitupwithcj.com. So no excuses for not remembering that URL right there. Now, today we're going to begin April with a focus on the environment. So we'll send it to CJ.
Thank you, Brandon. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Fire It Up with CJ show. So as I said in the intro, we're really tackling real-life issues using a spiritual lens. And so one of the real-life issues that we face right now is the environment. And sometimes, for me at least, it feels so hopeless and frustrating. And I wanted to shine a glimmer of light and hope for all of us out there that want to hear something hopeful. And really, why is this on a spiritual show? Why is the environment on a spiritual show? Because it's all connected. You know, if we are all one, the way that we treat the planet that we're on and the animals and plants and people on it, it makes a difference. And so today we're going to be talking to Eileen Quigley, director of the New Energy Cities Program in Seattle. And she's going to give us a quick update on what's happening with the environment on a national level. And then we're really going to drill down into what's happening at the local level. So welcome, Eileen.
Hey there, CJ. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
And Eileen is a total trooper. She has like about 500 different things going on at this point, including sending two kids to Nepal, getting food poisoning. So I'm so grateful that you're here.
All good. All good. Feeling fine now.
Okay. So tell me, let's get back into a sickening position. What's happening with Obama right now? What can we expect best case by the end of this term, do you think?
Well, you know, I work on climate change, and so I view when I think about the environment, I'm thinking primarily about global warming and climate and its impact on the world and our environment that way. Here at Climate Solutions, which is where my program is nested, we see ourselves now in what we call an era of consequences when it comes to global warming, which is probably readily apparent to all of your listeners when you consider the climate disruptive events of just last year alone. Tornadoes, fires that couldn't be controlled, hurricanes, Sandy as well as others, melting polar ice caps, and of course the highest temperatures on record in history since they've been recorded. So from my point of view, when I work on climate change and clean energy, my best hope would be that President Obama would follow through on exactly what he said he would do in his State of the Union speech, and I'll quote a piece of it, which was he said, "We will respond to the threat of climate change knowing that failure to do so would betray our children and future generations. Mm-hmm. Americans cannot resist this transition, the transition to a clean energy economy. We must lead it." So best case scenario is we would see President Obama leading. He would say no to the Keystone Pipeline, which from our point of view would be game over for our planet. If we burn the oil from the tar sands that are in Canada that would come through that pipeline, it's very dirty oil and it's a lot of it. So that's not good. Mm-hmm. He would use his executive power to work around Congress. As we all know, we have challenges with Congress. From our point of view, Congress is in the pocket of the fossil fuel industry and determined to block all efforts at national climate policy. So, from our point of view, we would like to see President Obama use all of the tools in his executive power, including the tools he has with the EPA and others of his agencies, to restrict greenhouse gas emissions and pollutants from all existing and any new coal power plants. and enable renewable energy and energy efficiency to scale throughout the country.
Mm. Well, how's it going so far based on a couple of months into his term?
Well, so far, I mean, one of the things that's interesting that we're taking a lot of encouragement from, President Obama has been out in the hustings. He is doing a form of a listening tour, and he's essentially decided, part of my recommendation of his going around Congress, he appears to be following through, not that I've recommended it to him, but it seems though his staff and he have concluded that they're not getting very far back in the Beltway. And so they're out in the country, and they're talking, and they're paying attention. Mm-hmm. And I am hopeful. Because I do believe that President Obama is serious. I don't think he would have mentioned climate and the clean energy economy in his State of the Union speech if he weren't serious. And so the question is, how is he going to do it? And I also think he's smart, and his team is smart, and they're tactical, and they're strategic. So I'm hopeful. And then, of course, what I see going on out here in the hustings and the state level and at the city level gives me hope, and I think that when he and his staff are out and about talking to all of us, I think they're going to also see that there's a lot more to be gained by supporting clean energy economy than not.
So tell us on the state level, what gives you hope on the state level?
Well, I'm particularly excited about both the West Coast and East Coast leadership that we see. You know, starting back in 2005, we had the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative in the Northeast, and that has created a viable carbon market in the Northeast. And Massachusetts, New York, Vermont, Rhode Island are all thriving with clean energy strategies. And Massachusetts has a green community strategy that is a model for the nation. New York is doing extraordinary things. So that's very exciting. And then out here on the West Coast, we have this exciting alignment among our new governor, Jay Inslee of Washington, and then Governor John Kitzhaber of Oregon, and then, of course, Jerry Brown in California, who have alignment on the importance of addressing climate. And California has demonstrated significant climate policy leadership, starting with its Global Warming Solutions Act of 2006. And coming out of that act, we now see a viable carbon market in California. So I'm excited about the possibility of a West Coast alliance, some kind of carbon market. And the most important thing about the carbon market, whether you tax it or whatever mechanism you use, the key is that it's an economy-wide approach to addressing carbon. And if you make this work economically, then I think many other aspects of addressing climate change will follow that.
So, as an end consumer, how would we get exposure to the carbon market? How does it work?
Well, it depends on what we decide to do, and I don't know. There's lots of activity right now. There are bills in both the Oregon, there's one bill in the Oregon legislature, and there's been a lot of discussion up here in Washington about what kind of bills we might do, talking about carbon tax, talking about cap and trade. Not sure where that's all gonna play out over the next 2 to 3 years. The average consumer would certainly feel, and again, it depends on what the policy is. Some of these carbon tax proposals would return money, this is called the tax and dividend, would return money back to consumers. So they'd be taxed for the carbon use, say at the pump, or more likely the oil and gas industry and the fossil fuel industries would be taxed for their carbon pollution. And then the money could be returned in the way of dividends. Also, what we've seen in Massachusetts through the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative is the development of the program I mentioned before, the Massachusetts Green Communities Program. And in that case, the money that's being raised through the cap and trade system, the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative system, is flowing money to communities all over Massachusetts, which are then in turn investing in renewable energy and energy efficiency and economic development on a local level. So that's the most likely way that people would start to see it. They'd see it in terms of a change in their air quality, a change in their quality of life, and then a change in jobs in their community, and hopefully even in new manufacturing and new opportunities for people to invest in different technologies that are cleaner and healthier.
So I'm going to go a step back because you said that you're hopeful that Washington, Oregon, and California will have this alignment. So are you saying that alignment and strategy, or to like how does Washington, Oregon, and California working together help us?
Well, first of all, we do already have an alignment in that we have three governors who have stated, are on the record, and in fact are actually working actively on climate. So right there, that's hopeful. In terms of how you actually, whether we would have Washington and Oregon go their own way with their own mechanisms, or whether we would figure out how we might actually align ourselves with California and adopt the same cap and trade market mechanisms that are active now in California. That's actually what's really on the table right now and is being discussed and is likely to get worked out in the next few years. I think that there is enormous cross-border conversation going on, so it's right now, because Jay Inslee is so recently elected and Governor Kitzhaber is back after having been off, he's back, been a couple of years. We're really at the early stages of figuring out what it looks like.
Okay, so we actually have a couple more minutes left, so a quick question.
Okay.
So cities. So, and I'm just trying to do kind of a little telescoping lens, and so
sure. It
seems like when I'm hearing about what happened on the federal level, it feels somewhat desperate, and I know that you're hopeful, and I'm
right.
hopeful.
At a minimum, it's certainly paralyzed.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know. I mean, what does a listening tour do? I don't know. So it gives President Obama, cred because people really care about the environment. Doesn't he have that already? I mean, what does a listening tour do?
Well, I agree with you. I think, we sort of wait and see. But I think maybe I'm misleading you by calling it just a listening tour, because that sounds like it's just a sop that's being thrown. I think it's much deeper than that. I think what they're doing is they're getting out into the states and into the cities, and they're seeing the kind of work that's going on and that's exciting.
Okay.
And they're figuring out how to, and this is really gets more clearly into the work that I actually do. I mean, what I feel we're doing down here at the ground level is building the support for the clean energy economy that, from a sort of grassroots level, or at least a bottoms up approach, then
right.
makes it more viable. And that's,
so he gets
and
case
it is
studies.
Exciting, you know.
Yeah, so he gets case studies. By traveling around, he gets case studies and examples
right.
of how at a federal level they could actually implement something bigger and more, so they can, here's what's working, here's what's not. That's what he would get by doing a listening
well,
tour.
I
it's not
think,
just like a kumbaya moment.
Right, no, not at all. And I also think that the Beltway is a bubble, right? I mean, everybody back there is in their own world, and they get to have lunch and dinner with all the lobbyists and all the rest. And I think sometimes you can get a pretty distorted view about what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you actually come out of D.C. and you get out into communities and you see the excitement and the success and the economic development of the clean energy economy, I think then you can go back perhaps emboldened and recognize
right.
that you should do something. Because in the absence of national energy climate policies, the action really is at the states and the cities. And so... Mm-hmm. It is a much more hopeful place to be than the Beltway.
Yeah, yeah. And then going back to the states, and then when we come back, we're going to be talking all about the cities. But
okay.
the states, so it sounds like the issues with the states and really is about kind of, again, best practices and coordination in some ways mm-hmm. because of this cap and trade. Is that what it is? It's like coordination of how that economy would work across
right. I mean,
borders?
So the exciting aspect of having a viable cap and trade market in the Northeast already, and a new market in California, and potentially other cap and trade or some kind of carbon pricing. We're not quite sure mm-hmm. what it'll end up being, but if we're proving it at the state level, and we're talking about big population centers. I mean, California
mm-hmm.
itself. An economy larger than many countries, and then also on the East Coast, high concentration of population. So the
mm-hmm.
hope would be that if we can actually prove that carbon pricing is a viable economic model that drives not only revenue but also clean energy development, then potentially you could see another go at carbon pricing at the national level that would have a unified national approach.
The climate problem needs
that. To address climate,
yeah, okay.
we need a much bigger system.
All right. I've been told I need to go on break. So we're going to we have Eileen Quigley, director of the New Energy Cities Program in Seattle, and we're going to be talking about in the next segment some really cool things that are happening that hopefully Obama will see on his listening tour. So folks online, make sure to subscribe to us by going to www.firedupwithcj.com, and you'll get a schedule of upcoming shows. We'll be right back.